Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
So I'm excited about Christmas season because it's just an opportunity. The whole Christmas season is an opportunity to share the love of Jesus. Amen? Because whether people realize it or not, they're recognizing the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Whether they say happy holidays, that doesn't matter to me because we are the light of Merry Christmas. Amen? And so this is just a great opportunity. People's hearts are more open now than really any other time of the year because it's all about Jesus. I mean, how many other times of the year do you drive around and see manger scenes in people's yards and everywhere? And so I just encourage you to look for opportunities to tell people what Christmas really is all about. Amen? Because this whole month is just going to be packed full of opportunities for you to share with people what Christmas really means so that they'll have the true meaning of Christmas and with that get the peace of God. Amen? And so this month on Wednesday nights and on Sunday mornings, we're going to be talking about peace on earth. Amen? And so, and we've got so many things going on at Christmas. It's such a busy time of year. The kids have holiday concerts. There's more stuff at church. There's office Christmas parties. There's all kinds of things going on. And it's important to just hold on to the peace of God. Amen? And I think we'd all agree in light of of things that are going on in our country, in our world. It's just, you watch the news and it's just one thing after another. We can't help but be moved by those things, but let's be moved in the right direction. Amen? You know, the news can move you, but make sure it moves you in the right direction. Don't let it move you into fear. Don't let it move you into hopelessness. Don't let it move you into a place of being distraught, but let it move you into a place of holding on. Remember, we talked about a few weeks ago that you have the hope of God. The Message Bible says that you have an unbreakable, invisible rope, so to speak, that connects right to the throne of God. It is the anchor for your soul. It's the anchor for your soul. And so as that news comes and you feel yourself blowing around, make sure you're holding on to God. Amen? Make sure you're holding on to Him and knowing that the problems that the world faces, whether it be terrorism, whether it be poverty, war, whatever problems the world face, you hold the answer to because you have Jesus. He is the answer to the world's problems. And, you know, and I know that one of the newspapers wrote that God is not fixing this. And the thing about it is God is the only fix there is. Amen. He is the only fix there is. Prayer works. It works. And so we know that because of the end times, because of the times we live in, there are certain things that will take place that have been prophesied through the Word. And those things will take place. But as for us, the Bible says that as for us, that even in these times, we are to be a light of the gospel. Amen. We are to be we are to be an example of the hope that people can have in Jesus, even though we are living in dark times. Amen? And so I just encourage you, hold on to that invisible, unbreakable connection that you have with the very throne of God. It is an anchor for your soul. Don't let what's going on in the world blow you off of the truth. And the truth is that God is on the throne, that He loves people, and He is a rescuer for all who come to Him. Amen? Don't ever let anything that's going on pull you away from that truth. And now when people are scared, they're open. When people are scared, they're open to the gospel. People need to know, how are you so calm? How are you have the peace that you have and with everything going on? It's your opportunity. It's my opportunity to say, I have the peace that passes understanding. Amen? I have the peace that comes from the throne of God. I have that peace that's not moved and not swayed by the things that happen in the world. Amen? And you know what? The more people we tell that to, the more people are going to hear it, the more people are going to live it, and that is what is going to change this world. Nothing else. Money's not going to do it. If money could do it, money would have done it. Talking's not going to do it. If talking could do it, there are people talking about this so much that it's just like you have run out of things to say. You have just run out of things to say. Didn't you just say that before? You're just run out of things to say. Talking's not going to do it. What's going to do it is the power of God. Amen? And that power is in you, and that power is in me. So let's grab a hold of these opportunities. Let's let God turn for good what the devil has meant for bad. You know how he turns things like this for good, things that have happened like in San Bernardino? You know how he turns those things for good? He turns them for good because when the enemy comes, and we know that anything that steals, kills, or destroys comes from where? Comes from the devil. Don't ever forget that. Anything that steals, kills, or destroys, it comes from the devil. And so when he comes, God comes in. He comes in through people. He comes in through the anointing. He comes in through you. And he comes in and he turns it around. He turns it for good because people are lost and hurting in those times. And that is when people can be more open to the gospel to hear. Listen, you've had your trust in something that doesn't last. You've had your trust in something that's not faithful. Let's put your trust and the one who will always be there for you. Let me help you put your trust in God who never moves. Amen? And so we just are so thankful that God is good and that the enemy is, no matter what it looks like, he is defeated. Amen? He is defeated. Now that was just all free right there. Amen? That's just all free stuff. But we're talking about peace on earth, and we're going to talk about peace with God, peace with family, peace in every area of your life, because we need to be the example of peace in such an unstable world. Amen? And so when I look at our Christmas tree, what really, we have these signs, these little plaques on them, and they say peace, love, hope, and joy. And those are the things that all of us are containers for. Amen? We're containers for those. All those things are in us. We just got to let them out. And so today I want to talk to you about peace with God. Because you can never have peace on earth if you don't have peace with God. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. You got to have peace with God before you can have peace in your marriage, before you can have peace on your job, before you can have peace with your teenager. Somebody say glory to God. Glory. Amen. You got to have peace with God first, because that's your foundation. That's your rock. That's what's going to hold you. And then everything else springs from that place. And before we can have peace in times of catastrophe, we have to have peace with God. Amen. And so turn over your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. Isaiah chapter 26, we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. And Pastor Harry really kind of sparked this in me, because he talked about peace and it just moved me so much. I was like, man, I want to preach about peace too. Amen? And so here we are, peace of God. It says, you will keep in perfect peace. Somebody say perfect peace.
Perfect peace.
All who trust in you. Doesn't perfect peace sound so good?
Yes.
It says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust on you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Oh, man, that's so good. We could just go home right now and say glory to God, right? But I got more for you, so let's not go anywhere. It says, I want you to look here. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. I want you to underline in your Bible, whose thoughts are fixed on you. You need to be careful, and I need to be careful where my thoughts are fixed on. Amen? Because, you know, how many like Facebook? I think Facebook is a good thing, and I think Facebook's also a bad thing. It's just like everything. Anything, you can go too far with anything. Anything. Anything can go too far. And so, you know, sometimes I see on Facebook where people will just get so fixated on something. They're just so fixated on it. Like every single post, I mean, just a mile long. It's just like, oh my goodness, take a breath, right? You just want to say to the person, take a breath, right? Come on, you know? And the thing about it is that actually I was kind of getting like, you know, geez Louise. And then the Lord just spoke on the inside of me and said, their thoughts are fixed on the wrong thing.
Amen.
You got to recognize you got to realize where your thoughts are fixed on. If your thoughts are fixed, now, it's of course, we're going to think about stuff that's going on. But I can't let my thoughts get fixed on that. That means it is a compulsion. It is what I think about consistently and constantly. It is the most important thing going on in my life right now. That is what my thoughts are fixed on. So you can't get your thoughts fixed on a boy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
A girl.
Amen.
Amen. What you want for Christmas. Right? All the stuff that comes with Christmas, there's a lot that comes with Christmas. It's all good and it's all great, but if you're not careful, it can become overwhelming and your thoughts can get fixed on that. And so, or even the news. You can't let your thoughts get fixed on the news. Because when your thoughts get what you set yourself under, the Bible says takes you over. Now, I believe in being informed. I am a very well-informed individual. And I'm happy about that. I'm glad about that. But I know in myself when I'm going too far in something and I'm getting fixed on it. Listen, my opinion is not going to change this world. I know you guys think a lot of me, but that's the truth. My opinion, some of you are like, really? You don't think so? No. My opinion is not going to change the world. It's not going to change the world. My opinion is just that, my opinion. But what will change the world is when through faith and through prayer, I release the power of God on situations. And so when we're wondering, man, when you're starting to feel like you don't have that perfect peace that holds you, that anchor for your soul, when you don't have that, it's probably, look at your neighbor and say, it's probably.
It's probably.
It's probably you got your thoughts fixed somewhere. They don't belong. Now, again, of course, I'm going to think about that. I'm going to think about what the government's going to do. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to pray about it. But my thoughts need to be fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Because that is what's going to change something. And here's how. When I see the problem, I'm not going to stay fixated on the problem. I'm going to take the problem to the answer. Amen. That's how you keep your thoughts fixed on the right thing. Sure, we got problems, but let's take those problems, let's take those thoughts, let's take them, and let's take them to the one who does fix them. Let's take them to Jesus. Let's apply the word over them. And listen, when you apply the word, you speak more word than problem.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
Let's speak more word than problem, because the word of God is going to change the world. It is changing the world right now. And so we've got to make sure that my thoughts are fixed where they need to be. My thoughts are fixed where? Where? On you, Lord. Where are your thoughts fixed on? What are you fixated on? What are you so full of? Amen? You know how you know what you're full of? Whatever's coming out of you.
Look out.
That's how you know what you're full of. And how many know we know some people that are full of stuff that probably isn't just a really good thing, right? We met one, right? Let's be full of Jesus. Let's be, you know, listen, in a few years, we're going to have a whole new set of problems because we're going to have a new president. We're going to have new everything. And we're going to have a whole new set of problems. So don't fixate yourself so much on what's going on or who's in charge now. Pray for that person. But know that the answer is God. Amen? Your opinion's not going to change anything. But what is going to change something is the word of God, the power of God, and having your thoughts fixed on him. That's where that perfect peace comes from. People are going to be more drawn to your peace than your opinion. That's just a good word right there. That's just a good word right there. All right, let's keep going. But, you know, how many know there are challenges to our peace? There's challenges like getting our thoughts fixed on things and getting our minds all over the place. And so let me just talk about a couple of challenges to our peace. And I have three, and I really want to concentrate on the third one. But one, number one problem or challenge, say challenge.
Challenge.
Challenge to our peace is our sin and our disobedience. Yeah?
Come on.
Because, you know, when we're out and we know we're doing the wrong thing, and we know we're not where we're supposed to be, it's real hard to have peace with God.
Amen.
Because you know the whole time, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be doing this. And that is a challenge to peace. It's a challenge to peace. And what's the answer to that? Just get where you're supposed to be and stop doing what you're not supposed to do. Amen. Sometimes people think that it's like, oh, what am I going to do? And you just, well, just stop.
Yeah.
You know, just stop doing that. There's a news flash. Let's just stop. Amen. You know, we don't need a rocket science and 10 years of Dr. Phil to figure out that you just need to stop doing that. Amen. You just need to stop. Second thing that is really a challenge to our peace is lies. Lies and deception. You know, lying is an epidemic. It really is. And here's the definition of a lie. You can look this up if you want. It is an attempt to deceive. So sometimes we're like, well, I didn't lie. You know, but did you attempt to deceive me? Did you attempt to get me to believe something that was different from what actually happened? If the answer is yes, then you lied. And here's why lying and deception are such a challenge to our peace is because, number one, God hates it. God hates that. You know, God lists 7 things that he hates. 2 of them have to do with lying. How do you know? If you're listing 7 things you hate and you're going to pick 2 or the same thing, how do you know you must really, really hate those? And here's why God hates lying. Because your mouth is so powerful. The words that you speak are so powerful. And when we use it for deception, it is a challenge to our peace because it is so not who God is. The Bible says you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So what does that tell me? When you're in lies and deception, you are in bondage. And listen, As a younger person, before Jesus came into my life, let me tell you something. I could tell you anything and you'd believe it. I was an excellent liar. I mean, just had a real gift for it. I mean, that's just the truth. I mean, I could tell you a story, I mean, just so convincingly. And just as a young person, and you know, we lie for all kind of different reasons, and a lot of times we lie because we don't think our life is exciting enough, so we want to make it more exciting. That comes from being insecure. When you're insecure, you always want to make yourself more than you are. So what do? You lie. You lie. But the thing is, you're going to get caught in that bondage because you're always going to have to remember the lie and you're always going to have to live the lie when the truth is that you've been created in the image and the likeness of God and you yourself, just like you are enough. And the sooner you realize that, the more powerful and the better a life you're going to live. But lies and deception, they hold us in bondage because they are of the enemy. He is the father of lies. And when we jump on his ship, when we jump on his way of doing stuff, it always leads to destruction. It always leads to problems. And it is a challenge to our peace. The peace of God, it comes from those whose thoughts are fixed on him. But if I'm always lying and deceiving and living in deception, then my thoughts are fixed on what story did I tell you last? And listen, I speak from experience. Man, I will never forget when God just lightning bolted me. I mean, you ever feel like that? Where you're just like, man, I just got a truth. When it just came a truth to me that when I lied, it was so ungodly, and I was being more like the enemy than I was being like Jesus. Because the enemy is the father of lies. And so if we're wondering why we don't have peace, you might check your truth. You know, are you living the truth? Are you speaking the truth? And here's the thing, you say, well, what do I say? I don't want to tell somebody the truth. Here, I'm gonna give you a great life lesson. You ready? Write this down. Just because somebody asks you a question does not mean you owe them an answer. That's deep. Because some people are like, well, I didn't know what to say. Well, then don't say anything. Or just look at the person and say, it's not your business.
Say it. Go ahead.
It's not your business. It's not your information to have. Just because someone asks you a question doesn't mean you owe them an answer. I don't owe you anything. I owe Jesus to speak the truth.
Amen.
So if you can't say anything without lying, don't say anything. Just walk away. If somebody says, man, they're rude, I'd rather somebody say, man, they're rude, than later on be like, man, you're a liar.
Yeah.
How about you?
Come on.
Now listen, we've all lied in here. We probably all have. We all have. Let's just be honest. We all have. But let's just check ourselves and say, you know what? I don't want to be like that. I want to make a change today. And I remember years and years ago when I got into the things of God, man, God spoke to me because, you know, I would lie. I didn't want to just call in and say I was sick. Like, oh, I'm sick. I can't come into work today. Man, I had to have a story. I had to have a story because, you know, being sick, that's so lame, right? You know, and then now as I'm older, I look back and think, my bosses must have thought I was so ridiculous. Because now when young people do that to me, you know what I'm thinking? You are so ridiculous. You know, I don't say it out loud, but that's what I'm thinking. And you know what, young people, and I wish I knew this when I was a young person, as you get more experienced in life, you get better at spotting truth.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Amen? Just because somebody doesn't call you on it, doesn't mean that they don't know that you are full of it.
That's right.
Amen? That's just the truth. Just because we don't call you on it doesn't mean we don't know that what you're telling us is spun. And so as a young person, you know, I was like that. So listen, I'm not casting any stones. I'm saying learn from my experience. Learn from my experience because you know what? It takes a while for people to begin to trust you when you've lied to them a lot. When you've lied to them a lot. Trust is earned. And so let's just be people of integrity. Let's just take a step back and say, you know what? That may be how the world deals with stuff, and that may be okay with the world, and that may be okay with a whole bunch of Christians. But as for me, say, as for me. It's not okay.
It's not okay.
And if it means just walking away because I don't have anything to say that's going to be good because it's truth, well, then just walk away.
Yeah.
Amen? And then let's get to number three. We're talking about challenges to our peace. Challenges that try to get our thoughts pulled away from what the truth is. And that is, we ascribe attributes of humanity to deity. We ascribe attributes of humanity to deity. And that's just a kind of a fancy way, because sometimes I like to be fancy. That's just a fancy way of saying, a lot of times we think God is like people. When we think about God, we look at him through the lens of humanity, through the lens of people. But God is not a people. Thank God. He's not a people. He's not a man. He became a man because he was not a man. Do you hear that? He became a man because he was not a man. And so here's why this is dangerous. Because when we ascribe human attributes to deity, then that is going to hinder our ability to receive from God. And Jimmy Evans said this, and I thought it was so good. He said, we can only get as close to God as our concept of him will allow. Isn't that good? Because the devil had lied to Adam and Eve about God and put shame on them after they fell. They hid from him rather than seeking him out. And here's the thing. When we believe the wrong things about God, we can't go to him for help. When we believe the devil's lies about God, we fear him and don't believe he loves us. And we fear that if he sees our faults, he will condemn us for them. Now, here's something really interesting. In Genesis, the Bible says that God made Adam in his image. He made Adam and Eve, right, in his image. And then he told them after that to go and to multiply, to go and to have children. Here's the thing. Ready? Your concept of God is mostly formed by your concept of your parents. Now, some of you are horrified, and some of you are just like, okay. And so there are some things about that that we may need to overcome, that we may need to retrain our brain. Because if you have a concept of God that, and here's how I know sometimes when people's concept of God is wrong, when they say, well, God's just not talking to me. You probably grew up where when you got mad at somebody or they didn't do something right, you quit talking to them or they quit talking to you. You got the silent treatment. So you think God does that. God doesn't do that. God is always talking to us through his word, through the Spirit of God, through messages that we hear. God is always talking to us. God never closed his shop. Never. He's always talking to us. It's not that God's not talking. It's that we're not listening or we're just thinking, well, I've done wrong, so God's not talking to me now. Because that's how we've grown up. That's what we know. Or when we do mess up, we think we are hesitant to go to God because when we messed up as children, the reaction that we received from our parents may not have been very positive. May not have been as godly as it should have been. Or if you are unfortunately the victim of parents who are never there, then you are going to have the idea that God is never there. And so you have to overcome that. Because the design of God, how many know the enemy messes up the design of God? He tries real hard. The design of God is for us to see godliness in our fathers. That's the design of God. God made Adam in his image. And then he said, go and have kids. Go, that's what multiply means, in case you guys didn't know. It means go and have kids. And so he said, he made him in his image, and then he said, go and multiply, because then the image of God was in Adam to pass on to his children. That is the ultimate design of God. And that is why the enemy fights the role of father in the home and in the family more than anything else. That's why he fights it so hard. Because there are so many people that have to overcome a dad who wasn't there, a dad who was abusive, a dad who was did things that were wrong. So many people have to overcome that because when they hear the term Father God, it's like, oh my God, I don't want a father. I don't want a father because a father has been nothing but a nightmare to me. And so it's difficult for that person to receive the peace of God because they don't know God as Father. The only Father they know has been just the devil himself. And so we have to realize and recognize that my concept of God is so important, and it is mostly formed by how I was raised. I'm very blessed. I have the best dad. I mean, my dad is 82. He is the best. He's always been there. I mean, he's just the best. And so I have no problem when I got into the kingdom of God, when they said God the Father will always be there. I was like, well, that's what dads do. God the Father will never let you down. Well, that's God's, dads don't let you down. God the Father will always provide for you. Well, that's what dads do. I have no problem with that. And I know that I am a rarity. I know that. But listen to me, fathers out there, you need to raise daughters like me who know that dads will always be there. But here's one thing I had to overcome. Instead of going to God, I was always going to my dad. When I was out at Bible school, when I needed money, Dad, I need some money, you know? And he would send it to me. At one time, the Lord said to me, he said, you need to realize I'm your source. And so I had to quit calling my dad for cash. And that was hard for me because he would always give it to me, you know? And so I had to trust God, but God came through just like my dad always came through. And so my point is that it's so important for us to just recognize. Sometimes you just got to recognize, hey, my dad, your dad probably did the best he could. But just know this, before you get too hard on your dad for the faults that he has or had, recognized that the enemy's number one goal in his life was to destroy him as father to you. That's the enemy's number one goal, is to destroy his role of father in your life. And the enemy worked really hard to do that. And unfortunately, he succeeds sometimes. But you got to look past your dad and see the source of it. It's the enemy. And the reason that he did it is so that it would pull you and cause harm to you and make it difficult for you to see God the Father for who he really is. And so you just need to say, okay, that's what happened. Now let me work through it. Because if you don't, you will never have the level of peace with God that he wants you to have. Doesn't mean your dad's a bad person. It doesn't mean anything like that. It's just the enemy's plan. And you got to look past it and say, all right, this is what I've been through. This is what has happened to me. This is how my father was to me, for me, and with me. And you may need to do some repair there. You need to push past that and say, but I need to find out who God the Father is. Not based on who my biological father is, but who God the Father is. Because your concept of him may be fractured right now, but how many know it can be fixed? Amen? It can be healed. It can be made whole so that you can have peace with God. That peace of God that just, it's like getting wrapped in a warm blanket and knowing that no weapon formed against you will prosper. All your needs are going to be met. There is a love for you that is beyond anything that you could possibly imagine, and it is the Father's love for you. And so a challenge to our peace can be our own sin and disobedience. It can be the lies and the deception that we choose to live in, and it can be the concept of God that we have. And so we just got to recognize those things. We can make a choice. Am I going to stay where I'm at, or am I going to grow past it? It's up to us. Amen? It's totally up to us. Let's keep going here. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:8-9, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God is so much bigger and more than we are. And we should be thankful for that. Amen? Because I don't really, you know, it's great when people help you, but it's fantastic when God helps you. Amen? Because God sees all, knows all, and can do all. How many would rather have help from him? Then somebody's going to come and say, well, I don't really know what I can do, but, you know, I'll do what I can. No, I want somebody that comes and says, I've got the answer, and nothing is impossible with me. Amen? How many would rather have help from him? That's God. And so we've got to recognize that when we put human, or we ascribe humanity to deity, we weaken the level of God in our life. God is more than any person you've ever met. God is faithful, even though people are not. God is truthful, even though people have lied to you. God loves you with a love that is not a bargain, not a trade, not based on your behavior. God loves you just because he loves you. Isn't that good? And so it's important, a challenge to our peace many times is acting like God is like a person. God is not a people. He is not a man. He is God. And that is so important to your peace. Now, let's look at how we can get peace with God. How many want to get some? Yes. Now that we've recognized there's some challenges to it, peace with God is a gift, and it's initiated by the gift of Jesus. Turn to Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 8 and 10. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 10. Aren't you glad God's not a people? Here we go. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know what? Some of you need to remind yourself of this. You need to remind yourself that you say, well, this is a verse you hear when you get born again. This is a verse you live every day. But God, he loved me so much while I was still a sinner. That means before I knew him, before I had him, before I had knowledge of him, before anything, when I was a sinner, before I had any forgiveness in me, before I had received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, God loved me so much that he sent Jesus for me. Then, and see, one of the things that we need to realize is that our peace is a gift from God. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I don't work for it. I receive it. It is a gift. It was initiated by a gift of Jesus. And here's why that's so important for you to know, because how many of us, when things start to go wrong, and if you have this thought, it shows you don't know God. You ready for it? God is angry with me. God is upset with me. If you have those thoughts, you don't know God. And I know you may be like, what? I know God. You know of God. But you don't know God. Because if you knew him, you would know that his love for you, his want for you to do well, his blessings for you, his gifts for you, his provision for you is all for you based on his love for you. And it is not based on you. It's totally based on him. When things aren't working out, it's not because God's angry with you. That's not why. It's not because God is done with you. God is never done with you. God loves you. Sometimes things don't work out because where it's working out, I'm not there. You know, the prodigal son, the Bible says there was famine in that land. There was no famine where God was.
Come on.
There was famine in that land. There was famine where he wasn't supposed to be. But the good news is, as soon as he went home, the famine ended. Was God angry with him? No. God wasn't angry with him. God was eagerly waiting for him to come home.
That's right.
Did God make him pay when he got home for what he did?
No,
the Bible says he ran out and greeted him, hugged his neck and kissed him, and immediately restored everything to him. But some of us are in that land and we're saying, God is so angry. God must be mad at me. God must be so angry with me. No, God's not angry with you. You're just in the wrong place. You need to go home. You need to go home. Get up from the pigs and go home. Because that's where what you're looking for is. But see, when we start thinking, oh, God must be angry. God must be mad. God must be disciplining me. Or God must be doing this. Or God must be doing that. You don't know God. Because that's not what God does. That's not who God is.
Amen.
The Bible says God is love.
That's right.
Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't correct us. God corrects us, but God does not use the enemy's tools to correct you. He has his own method, and it works.
It works.
Amen? It works. God's got his own toolbox. He doesn't need to borrow anything from the enemy. And so it's important that we understand that peace with God was initiated through the gift of Jesus Christ. That peace comes because Jesus came. Amen? And it belongs to me. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How many getting something today? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 21. He says, for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Made right, or another translation may say, be justified or made righteous. God has made me right. So many people think God is so concerned with your sin. God is not concerned with your sin because he knows he has the answer to it. God wants you out of it.
Yes.
Amen. But he's not going to make you pay for it because he already did.
Right.
He already did. Some people are like, oh, I can't tell you how many people have laid their head across my desk and just cried their little eyes out saying, I just don't know what to do because of this situation that I've gotten myself in. I just don't know what God's going to do. I just can't come back to God because of what I've done. And I'm just like, step out of it.
Wake up.
You don't know God.
Come on.
Because everything that you're talking about, yeah, it's bad. It's an eyebrow raiser for sure. It's bad. But Jesus already came and was the offering for that sin to make you right.
Amen.
Now.
Yes.
Amen. He already did it. He already did it. You just need to receive it. Receive it. Quit thinking that your sin is bigger than God, because there is no sin that is bigger than God. None. Ever, ever. And some of you big sinners, you say, thank Jesus. Amen? Me, I'm a big sinner. Thank you, God. There is no sin that is bigger than God. Let's not let anybody think there is. And then last verse here, turn to John 14:27. This is Jesus talking. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't like the world gives you. So don't be troubled or afraid. He says, so don't be troubled or afraid, because the peace that God gives is not like what the world gives. The peace that God gives is a knowledge and an understanding that no matter what happens, you're going to be okay. It is the peace of God. And he says, don't be troubled or afraid. We got to hold on to the peace of God. And then just a couple more things, talking about the peace of God. You know, we get it, it's initiated through the gift of Jesus, but we accept it, we make it ours through our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? How many got some faith out there?
Yes.
Got to have some faith. And then it's increased. How many want that peace to be increased?
Yes.
Peace can be increased. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 2. It says, may God bless you with this special favor and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus, our Lord and God. What's the next two words? Better and better. What translation you guys got up here? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How many can see there that through your, the more you know God, the more peace you have. The more you know him. Never get to the point where you think, I know it. No, the more you know him, our knowledge of God is constantly, should be increasing. And not just the facts and figures, but the knowledge that passes from head to heart. How many have ever had an experience when you, hopefully everybody in here has had this at least once, where you meet someone, the more you know them, the more time you spend with them, the more of their character that is revealed to you, the more of their personality that you learn to, that you grow to know, the more you love them. That's what marriage is supposed to be. The more you love them. But with God, it is like, here's where marriage is. With God, it's like, it can't even be measured. Because God has no imperfections. God is not humanity. God is deity. And the more I know him, the more I trust in his faithfulness, the more I trust in his protection, the more I trust and I walk in his peace, the more I know him. You know, you can see, like in the Bible, where it says the rain came to both houses. The wind came to both houses. And the Bible says, and the wind beat on that house. Life happens to all of us. But some stand and some don't. And you think, what's the difference? The Bible tells me in Matthew, it says, the house that was built on the sand, it fell. And the Bible says, and great was its fall. But the house that's built on the rock of God. Isn't that what he said in Isaiah? He said, I am the rock. And we need to keep our thoughts fixed on him. And when we do that, when the wind comes, when the storm comes, and you feel like you're just getting beat on, you're going to stand because you are built on the rock. Amen. And you will know. You're not going to go outside your house looking for an answer somewhere else because you know God. And you know he is where your answer comes from. It's just like we've seen the bumper sticker. We know it. Know God. No peace. N-O. But when you know God, K-N-O-W, when you know him, you know peace. And so before you can have peace in any other area of your life, you got to have peace with God. Recognize and know he's not going to make you pay for what you've done. He already did. He's not angry with you. He loves you. He loves you right now, right where you're at. God loves you. And the more of him you know, the more of him you trust, and the more peace you walk in. And sometimes we just have to say, you know what? I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to get to a place of peace. I'm trying to get to a place of feeling like I'm at peace with God and that I'm walking in peace and that the power of God is working in my life. That's where I'm trying to get to. All right? Anybody trying to get there? But in order for me to get anywhere in the world from right here, what's the one thing I have to know first? I got to know where I'm at. A map can get me anywhere. But if I think I'm in Chicago and I try to get to Florida, how many know I'm not going to make it? Because I'm not in Chicago. I'm in Florida. And some of you are like, I don't really get that. In order for directions to work, you got to know where you're at. You got to know where you're at. And some of you just need to say, you know what, this is where I'm at. My concept of God is a little off. My concept of God is not where it needs to be. I need to get to know God. Not based on experience, not based on what people have said, not based on my relationship with my parents, but based on who he is and who he says he is and who he will show me that he is. And if that's where you're at, that's okay, that's where you're at. That's not where you're staying. But recognize where I'm at and let God help you. You can ask God, Lord, I don't know you. Show me you. And he will. Let's all pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're just so grateful and thankful that you are so good and you love us so much. And just like I was saying, to get anywhere, you got to know where you're at. And so maybe you're here today, and where you're at is you have not yet begun a relationship with Jesus Christ. You haven't. You've talked about it. You know about it. You know you have friends that have done it. But you yourself have never said, Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you came and you died for me. I want to give you all of me. For all of you, I surrender my life to you and receive you as Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you've never done that, then you need to start with start. That's where you start. You can't go anywhere until you start there. And so if you're here today and you're saying, man, I need to do that. I haven't done that. I've talked about it. I know about it. I've thought about it. But I've never done it. But today, I want to do it. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, which is nobody looking around, out of respect for people, and you say, Pastor Peggy, I need to do that today. I need to start with Jesus. So if that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down or anything like that. This is just a moment for you to say, I'm starting with Jesus. I'm starting at the start line by giving Jesus all of me for all of him. Anybody like that before I move on? Or maybe you heard today and you say, I've already been there, done that. But I have gotten so far off track. I'm in that land. I'm so far from where I need to be. And today, I just need to recommit my life to Jesus. I need to come home. I need to recommit and say, Lord, I've gotten away from you, gotten off track. But today, I'm coming home. And you know what? God is here to receive you, forgive you, and love you. So if that's you today, with nobody looking around, you say, man, I've just gotten off track. But today, I need to come home today. I need to get back where I need to be. I need to get back with Jesus. If that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I see your hand. Anybody else? That's me. I see your hand. Anybody else? Before we move on. For the sake of those who raise their hand, let's all pray this prayer together. Say, Father God, today I'm home. I'm back. I recommit my life to you. I give you all of me, everywhere I've been, everything I've done, I give it to you, and I thank you for a fresh start. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, doesn't matter where you've been, you're home now. Amen? You're home now, and that's all that matters. You're home now. You know, one of the things I love about the prodigal son is that the father never said, where have you been and what have you been doing? Isn't that what we always say when somebody comes back? Where have you been and what have you been doing? God never said that. He just rejoiced and received him. And that's exactly what God has done for you guys who raised your hand today. He has rejoiced and received you. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you've done. You're home now. And that's what matters. Amen? Well, we're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offering. Who's ready for that?